Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo! Let's go!
Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Networks. I am your host for this evening. I am going to take you through the world of the NBA, maybe some college basketball. I am the villain, Barry Jordan, in the building. Sorry for the delay. We are on our delay, actually, because our network, Blog Talk Radio, our partner that we broadcast our shows with, was having a lot of technical difficulties. They're still having technical difficulties, so please bear with us as we try to bring you these dishes. These snacks, these goodies, all that good stuff. So, you could be anywhere in the world, but you're with the Sports City Chefs. The calling number is 929-477-2759. We'll be with you for the next hour going through anything and everything having to do with the world of the NBA. College basketball might even get a little taste in there, but, we're doing a lot of big things on Sports City Chefs. Get to the website, get to the blogs. Listen to our shows. Shout out to Power 103 Radio, our partner. We broadcast there on Wednesdays and Fridays as well, doing big things there. We will have co-hosts calling in, but I'm telling you, Blog Talk Radio is not cooperating with me. I can't even get in to get people into the show. So hopefully I can do that pretty soon. But, you know, while you're with us, I hope you enjoy the show. We got a lot to unpack. We had a crazy day in the NBA last night and a crazy day to start in the NBA today. We had some pretty big games. The Knicks up just finished their final, handling the Sacramento Kings at home. Big game for the New York Knicks, 121. Julius Randle, another all-star caliber game, 21 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists. De'Aaron Fox looked pretty darn good, 29 points, 11 assists. The Mavericks getting handled today by the 76ers, wasn't even close, 111-97. Joel Embiid keeps his MVP campaign going. Luka Doncic had a pretty off game, a pretty quiet night by his standards, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. The Nets handling the Magic 129-92. Kyrie Irving, a nice game, 27 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds for the Nets, who improved to 22-12. Look out, the Nets are on a roll and they're getting hot. You got some games going on right now. The Clippers down big against the Grizzlies, 104-85. You got the Wizards up by 5 on the Nuggets. That's a revenge game for the Nuggets. The Wizards handed them a loss a couple weeks ago. Wizards getting hot, won 6 of their last 5 of the last 6, and turning it on right at the right time. The Pelicans and the Bucks just getting underway, 17-12. We won't get into that. So that's the slate for today. I actually do have a caller in queue, my good friend, my buddy, calling out of the Westchester County in New York, Alan Chen. Alan, what's going on, brother? Alan, are you there? I'm telling you, people, Blog Talk Radio is really giving me a lot of headaches. So I'll try to bring him into the queue. If you're there, Alan, just shout. But in the meantime, listen, I'll start with what I've been watching today. The New York Knicks playing some good basketball. Blew the lead a little bit in the third quarter, but really kind of pulled away, and this game wasn't really that close. You know, Alex Burks had a nice game, a season high 24 points. Julius Randle, like I said, having a good game. Derrick Rose starting today in place of the injured Alfred Payton, having a very nice game. You know, I think he hit his first 7 shots in a row. You know, first game starting since he, you know, he's been back with the Knicks. He had a very nice game. You know, the Knicks look good. They're playing. They played solid defense by today's standards. I mean, giving up 121 points. I mean, we'll never say that's a, you know, stifling defense, but they were swarming to the ball, making the Sacramento Kings shoot tough shots. And you know, that's the name of the game. You know, it's 3-and-D, and the Knicks were able to do that tonight. Like I said, Derrick Rose, 28 minutes, put up 18 points, 6 assists, a very good game. You know, his first game starting for Alfred Payton, who was down with a hamstring injury. So I'm going to try this again. I'm going to try to bring Alan into the show. Alan, can you hear me? Are you there, brother? This is what I'm dealing with, Blog Talk. This is what I'm dealing with. I mean, you know, it's crazy. Trying to bring him into the queue, but not really giving me a chance to bring him in. so frustrating. Listen, I watched a little bit of the Sixers Mavericks game. You know, the Mavericks, I wouldn't say they're in a free fall, but you know, I thought they were starting to get it together, starting to put the pieces, get a little healthy, and then, you know, they ran into a buzzsaw in the 76ers. They improved to 22 wins on the year. You know, the Sixers are just they're at the top of the East, and for a good reason. That's a good basketball team. They're, you know, 22-11 on the season. Joel Embiid, you know, to say the least, Doc Rivers has kind of turned the light bulb on with him. He was always a good player, but I think he's kind of really said, hey, listen, we need you on the block. We need you to be that beast. There's not a lot of centers in this league, and there's not a lot of people that can handle you in the post, and he's responded. You know, he's one of those guys that's the front runner, in my opinion, to be an MVP candidate and to take that hardware this year. He's playing some phenomenal basketball. They're getting some nice shooting out of Steph Curry. You know, listen, this is a good 76er team. Tobias Harris, arguably having a all-star caliber year, had her off night tonight. But when you get contributions from the bench, 14 points off the bench for Dwight Howard, 10 points off the bench for Milton, and, you know, it's going to be tough to beat this team. Ben Simmons having a okay game. But, you know, this is a good Sixer team. And the Mavericks, I mean, you know, we saw some reports out of Dallas that, you know, the Mavericks might be shopping Porzingis, who, again, didn't play tonight. Out with the back injury, you know, I don't know how much you can take of, you know, having your Batman and Robin, but Robin not showing up, not being able to play. So, you know, he's a good player. He was the unicorn, but you're also looking at a guy that at this point, paying him $158 million not to be there, not to be available. So, you know, I don't know what you do with them at this point. I don't know. There'll be takers. There'll probably be a team that would take a risk and try to rehabilitate them. You know, it was like years ago, the Phoenix Suns organization had that Fountain of Youth. They stretched a lot of years out of some good players like Grant Hill, Shaquille O'Neal, et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't know if there's something like that that he can do, but, you know, he's not at that point where he's older, but he's at the point where he can't stay on the court. And it's kind of it's kind of frustrating if you're Luka Doncic. You want to get that guy the help that he desperately needs. So I'm going to third time's hopefully a charm. I'm going to try this again. Calling out of Westchester County, Alan Chen. Alan, are you with me?
Barry, can you hear me?
Yes, he's there. He's there. Yes. Oh, my God. Listen, I was telling you, Blog Talk has been up and down. I think something's wrong with their servers. I can't take the blame for this one. It's, like, not my fault, brother. How you doing?
Good. I was on the website, said they're under maintenance. I pressed refresh. Next thing you know, the show's back on. So good to hear. At first, I thought it was TP, you know, upset over that UConn-Georgetown game. I thought he was just, like, so distraught. He was like, I can't do a show tonight. You know, Barry and Alan going to call me.
TP had a prior engagement, you know, so that wasn't, you know, that wasn't his fault. You know, shout out to the boss man, to the host, TP Timeless. You know, I'm sure he'll be back in the kitchen ready to cook for you guys, but, you know, he couldn't get in today. You know, so we're going to hold it down for him for the next hour. We're going to talk some basketball. You ready to rock with me, brother?
I'm ready. So I know you were going through the games. I'm looking at that Knicks-Kings box score right now. Like 140 to 121. Wow. that's a high scoring game. I do a Tib talks preaches defense. 121 points is a lot of points to give up. Barry? Barry, can you hear me? Barry, are you there?
Hello?
Barry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Mickey Mouse operation today, brother.
I'm losing you. I started talking about the Knicks King score. I didn't hear from you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was wire to wire. They got close a little bit in the third quarter, but, I mean, you know, the Kings – they got some talent on offense, but they play no defense. They play absolutely no defense. It was like a track meet. Did you watch any end of the game?
No, I didn't watch the end of the game. I'm just looking at the box score right now. What stands out to me is that Quickly had 25 points on 5 of 10 shooting, and Mr. Halliburton had 17 points. So I'm sure everyone's happy about that, all the Knicks fans. That were missing out on Halliburton, the Knicks passing on Halliburton, but then they realized that, you know, Emmanuel Quickley might be the steal of the draft, and he outplayed Halliburton tonight. So it's a good look for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, Halliburton's he does look good, and, you know, I got to be fair. You know, that's kind of like the point guard we needed, but I like the kid Quickley. He missed his first shot. Then he hit a floater in the lane, and then he just got it going. He got hot quick, and he really helped build that lead. He looked really good. Halliburton looks good. He's a good young player. I think he needs to get a little bigger. He's a little smallish, but I like his game. He's a slick point guard. Watching him come off of screens and move in the pick and roll, he looks really good. So. But they just don't play defense. They're a terrible defensive team. Bagley got bullied around. Julius Randle could get any shot he wanted up in the middle. Noel had a nice game, rebound the ball, blocking shots. I mean, Bagley just needs to get bigger. Bagley, he can't handle he's a tall kid, but he gets pushed around. So, you know, that was basically what I saw. So I actually got Big E, Easy E, Eric Gross in the building. I'm going to try and bring him in. You know, Blog Talk has given me a lot of issues today. So calling out of Colorado, the 970. Eric, are you with me? You see what I mean? You see what I mean? This is not my fault. I'm trying to bring these brothers in, man.
I guess you stuck with me, Barry.
I know. But
quickly, I know I've been reading on social media. Everybody wants quickly to start, but I think he's in a perfect role right now. Comes off the bench, and I know Rose started tonight, but it's been Rose and quickly coming off the bench. I feel like he's in a perfect situation. He comes in, he gets it cooking like he did tonight. Like you said, he missed his first shot, but he start getting rolling. I think he's in a good role right now with the Knicks. I know all the fans want him to start, but I think it gets a little tricky when you put quickly as a starter because that means he's on the scouting report for the other teams. Right now, he's kind of – I'm not saying he's, like, completely under the radar, but I don't think he's the main focus point of the scouting reports right now. So he gets to do his thing off the bench. You start starting him, people are going to scout him more. And then, you know, maybe it's effective. He loses his effectiveness and efficiency once he's a starter. I like where he's at right now. He just comes off the bench. He's like the microwave. He starts cooking.
No, you're right. Listen, he had a couple games where he struggled. And I think, Clyde and Breen, I kind of alluded to the fact that now he's on your radar. Now he's on these teams' radar, and they're scouting against them. They figure out, all right, this is what he likes to do. He likes to go at the top of the key, off the pick and roll, the floater. He shoots here, so they're starting the game plan against him, and he started to struggle. So that's what I was saying. I was on with TP and a lot of the boys, I think a couple Sundays ago on the brunch on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Got to get that plug in. And I said, listen, he doesn't need to start. He's a young kid. Let him get his licks in against second units, against guys. Like, I don't want him to have to go up against Kyrie Irving, like Donovan Mitchell or Conley on that side. And then, the Westbrooks of the world and all these, big-time, CP3. Like, they'll eat him up and chew him and spit him out. Like, he can play against them, but don't put that pressure on him right now. Like, let him learn against the second unit, and then as he gets more comfortable, he gets more confidence, then you could bring him in. But don't be in a rush to put these guys in the starting lineup. You might not like the results you get, Al.
I completely agree. I just think Knicks fans, they all anxious. They see someone put up 25 points, they're like, start him,
Absolutely. I'm guilty of that,
but I just
too.
Think he's
like,
a, I mean, I know people want Payton to come off the bench, but I actually think he's a good I mean, Alfred Payton has his limits. His jump shot's inconsistent, but I feel like he's a good table setter, and that's what you need when you start the game. You need to get everyone involved. You got to make sure Randall gets his look.
Right.
You got to make sure Bullock gets his shots up. RJ needs to get cooking. So I think Payton's a good table setter, and then once you have Quickly and Rose come off the bench, that's when they could maybe speed it up a little bit. More transition play than just kind of mix it up and let it be free on offense, the offense roll. I think he's in a good, spot right now. I think the Knicks fans just have to be patient.
Right. And I for one, can't stand watching Payton play all the time. But I agree with you. He's a big body point guard that is, he's been in the league enough that he's smart. He knows what he needs to do. He's just not exciting to me. And, he misses a lot of shots, a lot of easy shots. So that's what kind of drives me crazy. But I'm going to try this again. I'm going to try to bring in Eric. I know Blog Talk is just giving me a lot of issues right now. So I'm going to try my best to bring him in. Eric, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. Eric. You have no idea. You have no idea how bad Blog Talk is. Every time I try to bring you in, it spins around, and then it says timed out. And it's not me. Alan confirmed that his internet is fine, and he couldn't get on the site either. So how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed and highly favored. The villain is in the building. We're holding it down. TP Timeless couldn't make it tonight. We love him. We love the big homie. So I said, listen, I'll hold you down, brother. I got you back. So I'm here. I got
absolutely.
My apron on. I was, you know, I got my like my good shoes on. I didn't think I had to get into the kitchen and cook. I thought I was just gonna get a dish, like they were gonna serve me. But I gotta cook. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
But you know, listen,
we're
going it. Through the scores. Obviously, I had that Nick talk going today. So I don't know if you wanted to chime in on the Knicks game, if you saw any of it, but we can move on to some other dishes.
Yeah, no, I liked how the Knicks are playing this year. I think they're going to be in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. So I think you guys have something to be happy about over there in New York. You know, they got a really good Julius Randle has elevated his game. I mean, the acquisition of Derrick Rose is huge. R.J. Barrett's playing good. And they get good production from Bullock and Burks off the bench and Emmanuel quickly. This team's good. So I look for them to continue to, you know, climb and get into the playoffs this year. So it's fun to watch. I got the league pass. So a Knicks, you know, I've always watched them just because growing up watching them, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, the Oak Tree, you know. So the Knicks have a place in my heart, so. You know, I always pay attention to what they're doing. So they've been some very unfortunate times, and there's definitely something to be happy about there down at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I really believe that. I think they're a piece or two away from really kind of getting from that 8 slot up into, like, the 5-4 range. I think, you know, maybe getting a J.J. Redick. A shooter like that would be nice. I think they got enough size. I think they just need some more shooters and some snipers on the outside. But I like what's going on. It's a controlled optimism, but I like what's going on in New York. So you know, if anything, like to have 16 plus wins right now at this point in the season is a win-win. But that's what I got.
Yeah, Yeah, it's kind of like the Lakers and the Clippers situation. Like, no matter what happens, New York is always going to be the Knicks town. You know what I mean? It's always going to be the Knicks.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. Even though Brooklyn is looking great right now, they're winning.
Yeah.
They won today. You know, it's going to be a Knicks town. Go ahead, Al. What you got?
No, I was just saying. You know, the Nets are hot right now, but in the beginning of the season, towards like a few weeks ago, it was like the Nets have the big three, Harden, KD, and Kyrie, but everyone talking about quickly. So I was like you said, Eric, the Knicks are always going to be New York's team, regardless, unless the Nets come through with the big three and win a championship. But it's just interesting that, you know, like a week, 2 weeks ago, the Nets were kind of just like, they were okay before their recent hot streak, and everyone talking about the Knicks and their, you know, they're like two games under 500 and everyone talking about the Knicks and Emmanuel quickly and Julius Randle. And like, I'm like, that's kind of crazy because the Nets on the other side got the big three. They got Kyrie, Harden, and KD, but everyone's still talking about the Knicks.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Nets are, you know, they're from New Jersey and they came into Brooklyn. So, I mean, you know, some people have embraced them. Some people have, you know, traded in their Knicks jersey for a Nets jersey. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when – like, it's a perfect example, and Eric knows this too. Like, in the 90s, even though the Yankees were starting to win championships, the Giants, you know, had a nice little run in the 90s, you know, getting into the playoffs and stuff, the town was still a Knicks town. Like, when the Knicks were going, like, if you listened to talk radio, it was all about the Knicks. Like, you know, Pat Riley, Patrick Ewing, you know, all anything, everything was Knicks. Like, when there was an off season, there was an off season. But when there was in season, it was that Knicks talk. So, you know, a lot of people give me crap for it, but you know, that's the facts. That's what it is. So,
and just
I'll,
one more,
I'll move
just
on
one
from
more
this.
Thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, just one more thing about Knicks Nets. Just imagine if KD and Kyrie had the guts. I'm calling the two of them out. If they had the guts to sign with the Knicks, like they would be, I mean, they're the toast of New York kind of individually on their own, but they could have had the two of them and maybe they bring James Harden to the MSG. Imagine what the vibe would be like if Katie and Kyrie had the guts to sign with New York. But that we could talk about that on another show.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're right. Like, listen, they made the right choice. I think the Nets were built better than the Knicks at that point when those two made that decision with Dunk, with like, you know, with Allen, with Dinwiddie and company. But yeah, like, can you imagine if they had, you know, came across the river? So it, you know, it's a discussion that we can just talk about ad nauseum. But you know, at the end of the day, they made their choice, and you know, they're winning. They figured it out. They're looking good, and they look like they're on the fast track. They look like, so that's a scary team over there. But I want to get into the game last night because Eric talked about it before we went off the air. Last night on the College Cookout, that's Wednesdays at 9 to 11 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Got to get a plug in, pay the bills. The Utah Jazz handled the LA Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, I think without AD, now that the Lakers are 1-5, and not only without AD, but without Schroeder, the two of their three best players. LeBron's, you know, not his percentages are struggling a little bit now that he's got more of the load to carry on his shoulders. The Jazz looked amazing last night, taking advantage of a hobbled Lakers team. So I'll kick it over to you, Eric, since you are the Laker fan. You're the resident expert on the Lakers. Are you worried? Are you panicked in L.A.? Are they in trouble, or you think this is just, you know, par for the course with, you know, injuries and LeBron will figure it out?
You know, I'm a little concerned because of the fact, like I touched on at the end of the show, LeBron is, it reminds me of the 2013-14 season when Kobe was putting in all those minutes, you know, to keep the team afloat in playoff contention. And he blew out his Achilles with two games left. So I'm concerned about LeBron James getting burned out because he's, you know, averaging over 38 minutes a game. And he's the only one, I mean, he's putting in work and he's 36 years old. So, and they still have not figured out a proper rotation. And that's what concerns me. They have all these players, but they're not getting, they're not developing a chemistry. I think it hurt them really bad getting rid of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. They should at least kept one of them because those guys dominated down in the paint. They played defense. They rebounded. And the Lakers are lacking that big time this year. They don't have anyone that can stop them in the paint. So they need to rest AD as long as possible because without him, there's no way the Lakers could win another championship. If they get into the playoffs, they're going to be playing I mean, the West is loaded. So, I mean, at this rate, the way they're playing right now, I think most of the top teams would beat them in a seven-game series. They're not consistent enough. I know Schroeder is out, but I mean, I expected this. I expected the Jazz to beat them by double digits. So the Jazz are looking, like their record shows, the best team in the league. That was a statement when, even without Anthony Davis being there and Schroeder, because you look at the roster, it's still pretty loaded. They just haven't figured out what rotation. And then Wesley Matthews, you know, he hasn't got it going all year long. So I think it really hurt them by getting rid of Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. And now, unfortunately, they're paying for it.
I couldn't agree more. I am worried about LeBron and his minutes. I think if anybody can handle it, it's him. But it's, you got to do it with caution. Like, I know you want him out there and you want him to kind of – he needs to figure out, all right, what can you do? How can I make you better, Matthews? How can I make you better, Caruso? How can I make you better, Kuzma? Like, and so forth and so on. And the new pieces like Gasol and Harrell. So it's like, how can I make you guys better? What can you do for this team? But you got to watch the minutes he's playing too. You know, it's like, it's going to, he's
absolutely
not young anymore. He's getting older. So even though he's a physical specimen, you got to watch that. So, Alan, I don't know if you watched any of the game or caught any of the highlights, but I mean, you know, I know you've been championing the Utah Jazz all year. I think they've won, what, 22 of the 24 games. They're unbelievable right now. What did you see, if anything, from the game last night at the Jazz or the Lakers?
I didn't catch the game, but I read about it and saw the box score. So I don't know. I'm still not believing in the hype with the Jazz. They're going to have a parade in Utah before I believe. I still don't think they're ready, but I mean – Markieff Morris said it right. I mean, Markieff Morris said it right. I'll read the quote. He said, "Our whole preparation is preparing for the playoffs. We see the Jazz. You know, they beat our ass tonight, but in the playoffs is a different story." So I think right now, like, the Jazz are built perfect for the regular season. Everyone's healthy. Everything's clicking. You got, you know, I think last year it was Conley's first year, I believe, with the Jazz. So it's still that adjustment period. Mm-hmm. I think past season, Mitchell was on the ball a lot, so. Last season, he had to be off the ball, so he was getting adjusted to that. So I think now they got the pieces. They got Bogdanovic, and they got Rudy Gobert. They got O'Neal playing the stretch four. He's the defensive stopper. So I think they just got the perfect team for the regular season. I don't know their exact schedule during the win streak. I'm sure there's been some cupcakes. I'm sure there's been, you know, tough teams. I don't know. I got to see it. Like, and I'll stay true to my word. If they stay the one seed, they don't want to see the Warriors. They don't want to see the Nuggets, or even if Dallas and Luka don't get their act together. Like, they don't want to see those three teams, because it gets tighter in the come playoff time. You figure out Mitchell's tendencies, and you figure out Conley's tendencies. You know, Bojanovic could get cold, and then Rudy Gobert, he's a defensive stopper, a defensive player of the year, but he can't give you buckets in the paint. I think that's what, you know, contenders do. They get buckets in the paint. And I just don't see that in the Jazz yet. But with regards to the Lakers, I don't think they need to panic. I mean, you're playing without AD. He's a top three, top four player in the NBA, playing both sides of the ball. Rest them as long as possible. And you guys mentioned that Schroeder is out. He's a gritty defender up in your face, so they missed his presence, because he would have been all up in Conley or Mitchell, you know, grill on defense. So they're missing two key components. So I don't think yesterday's game was like a panic, press the panic button, but I'm sure Rob Pelinka, you know, on the phone every day or checking out the waiver wire, the buyout market, to see what he can do. And maybe he does a splashy trade and gets like Andre Drummond. I'm not exactly sure, but I think this is the time for the rest of the roster to step up. I mean, they got a deep roster, you know, Kyle Kuzma, he can get buckets, you know, time for him to step up. Montrezl Harrell is the one who left the Clippers because he wanted to be part of the Lakers, so he's got to show up, be part of the Lakers, you know, show up and step up. And, you know, and then they got Markieff Morris. He's the one who said, you know, we'll see the Jazz, or, you know, we'll be ready come playoff time. So you got to put up or shut up. I think it's time for this supporting cast to step up, because LeBron is LeBron. He's going to do his thing, and he can't keep playing 38 minutes. I know he's bionic man, but he can't have him keep playing 38 minutes, because basically his 38 minutes is like he's setting the offense. Now with AD not there, he's probably the defensive coach, like on the back end, like yelling out plays. Like those 38 minutes are like hard for like 38 minutes. He can't even take a break now. Like before, when he had AD, like he could probably take some minutes off and, you know, not defend the best player. But right now, I don't think the Lakers need to panic, but they might need to have some backup plan in case AD doesn't come back earlier than expected. But I think it's time for those three players that I mentioned, Harrell, Kuzma, and Morris, to step up and help LeBron out.
And well, I just wanted to say one thing. You know what was interesting about that game? That Vogel actually used Dudley, McKinney, Antetokounmpo, Devontae Kakko. He threw everything at the Jazz, you know, to try to get something going. So I would like to see more of these guys in action, you know, because Wesley Matthews, he's not cutting it. The other night he played 29 minutes and got 0 points. Against the Jazz, he had 17 minutes, 3 points. So Kyle Kuzma, 25 minutes, 5 points. KCP, same thing, 5 points. You know, Tucker, Gasol, Morris, Harrell, and LeBron were the only ones that were scoring. And LeBron James was the highest scorer at 19 points. So they got beat by the Jazz convincingly. The Jazz played great defense. They played them hard. And So I think the Jazz are definitely for real in the West. I'll agree with the statement, you know, as soon as they get their title, but this team's going to be dangerous to contend with come playoff time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you've been a champion, McKinney, right? Right, Eric? Like, you
yeah.
like that kid. I don't
yeah,
know.
Absolutely.
Listen, maybe it's time you start giving him a little bit more run, because Caldwell Pope ain't giving you nothing. You know,
yeah.
Tucker, nothing. Like, these guys,
yeah.
I like their game, but if they're not producing, you got to find out what else you got in the cupboard before you go into somebody else's cupboard, you know? And McKinney can play. He showed me, you know, he showed a little bounce. So.
Exactly.
Listen, I couldn't agree with you more, Eric. I think the biggest mistake that, you know, the Lakers brass made was letting Howard and McGee go. But either one
yeah.
of them, if they would have kept one of them, that would have helped, because they
yeah.
were rim protectors, they were nasty, and they really kind of helped, you know, pack that paint, and you had to shoot. And all you needed the guys to do was just defend the three-point line. You can extend that defense because those guys behind you can
yep.
cover it up. Now you ain't got that. Marcus Gasol ain't going to do that. He's not a rim protector. He's playing on the perimeter.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just, you know, that's the biggest problem to me. And Vogel's a defensive coach. They're not playing defense. That's a big problem
yeah.
for me. So, you know, hopefully
they went from being the best
around.
Defensive team in the league to, you know, in the middle of the pack now, you know.
Yeah, and it wasn't smoke and mirrors. That's a good defensive
yep.
team. Those are guys that fly to the basketball. They rotate. They
yep.
get over screens. And you can do that because you got the rim protectors behind you. Now you ain't got that. So that's a big problem for me. And I got to talk about the Jazz. I got to give them – listen, first of all, they are – an exceptionally coached team, okay? You know, if anybody has any doubt about Snyder's the coach of the year so far. I mean, I think you got other guys that you could probably put into that list. You could probably throw Tibbs. You could probably throw who's Monty, right? Monty Williams in Phoenix.
The Suns coach.
You know,
yes.
I could probably I could throw him in there. But, you know, for my money right now, Snyder's he's got this team playing. And they got coaches that whole staff, they have them on the perimeter playing defense, interior blocking shots. This is a complete basketball team, 1 through 12. Bogdanovich, he was a steal. Conley Allen hit on it. Last year, he looked like he was finished. He looked like his career was done. This year, he's balling. He's playing that point guard that you saw in Memphis, that tough, gritty, smart, heady point guard. That's what he's bringing to this Jazz team that they were missing for a couple years, because they had, like you said, Alan, they had Mitchell handling the ball at the point. Now he could play off the ball and he could just attack. Even though Mitchell had an off game
right.
last night, you had everybody else playing pretty darn good basketball. Ingles is hitting shots. Favors is playing well off the bench. Clarkson, sixth man of the year, Jordan Clarkson. He's a smart player that's figured it out. Like, I don't need to be the starter and try to put up all these points. I can come off the bench and get mine and do my thing. He's a big difference on that team. This is a good Jazz team. I believe that do I believe that they're going to, you know, make a deep run and probably get to the finals and meet up with, like, the Sixers and Nets and make it close? I don't know, because, you know, it's hard to put that in my mind because they're the Jazz. But this is a good basketball team, and I would not be surprised if they are there at the end. They're going to give the Lakers fits even with AD back, because that's a good basketball team there.
And regarding
yeah, even
the Lakers,
with AD
I think...
back, they lack it, you know what I mean? Just that was their bread and butter. That, I mean, if you watched the playoffs, I mean, Dwight Howard, I mean, these guys were invaluable to the team. I mean, they did so much work. And even with AD back, it's going to be a tough out with the Jazz in a seven-game series for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would pick them over the Clippers right now. Go ahead, Al.
Regarding the Lakers, I think, I mean, I know you guys mentioned Vogel's a defensive coach, and I know LeBron wants to have the, you know, the shackles on everyone. You know, he wants to control everything, but the two of them might need to let this team go, just play a different style while AD's out. Maybe play a little small
yeah.
ball, have Montrezl Harrell at the 5, LeBron at the 4, and just surround them with shooters. Just kind of just let it flow. Because right now, I mean, they're not playing that well. They got AD's not going to be back for a while, so they're going to have to make some adjustments. That's what, you know, good coaches, and I always joke around that LeBron's always the associate head coach on the team, so he needs to make adjustments too. Regarding Jazz, I don't know. I just don't see it because, one, you know, Barry, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. There's no way Adam Silver going to have the Jazz in the NBA Finals. I can't see it. Like, no disrespect to the Utah Jazz and the Utah, but, like, if the Utah Jazz are in the finals of the year, well, not the year of the pandemic, but we're still in a pandemic, but, like, 2021, the revenue's kind of down, you know, ratings a little down. Like, you're going to have the Utah Jazz in the finals. I just don't see it happening. And I honestly think if they play one of those three teams I mentioned, I think they're going to get knocked out, especially, I don't know what the Nuggets are up to, and maybe Eric, you can fill us in because you're out in Colorado. I don't know why the Nuggets are, I mean, the last time I checked, they were the 7th seed. But my point is the Jazz, if they're the 1 seed or the 2 seed, they don't want to see the Jazz. I'm sorry, they don't want to see the Nuggets as a 1-8 matchup or 2-7 matchup, because I think the same thing's going to happen like last year. Jazz were up 3-1. They got a little, you know, comfortable, and then the Jamal Murray did his thing, and Jokic playing like a beast this year. So I don't know. I'm not a believer of the Jazz, not yet. I mean, I'm not going to believe in them. Pierre, I'm with Markieff Morris. You know, come prove it in the playoffs. I just remember the year. I don't know which year exactly. I remember the Blazers, the Trailblazers. They're the number 2 seed. Everyone thought they were going to do damage. They ran into the Pelican squad. I believe it was with AD and Boogie Cousins and Rajon Rondo on that
that's
squad.
Right.
They just ran into a buzzsaw and got swept. So that's the kind of team I'm thinking the Jazz are right now. They're that team. I don't know exactly what year it's that team. The Blazers was a 2 seed. Everyone was like, this is the year. You know, Dame and CJ do their thing, and they ran into a buzzsaw and got swept. So I'm not saying Utah's going to get swept, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'll be eating my words come June. Is that? No, not June. Whatever the playoffs and finals start. Now that the calendar
is May,
off.
April, May, whatever. Exactly. We'll see. I mean, I like them. I think they're a solid team, and they're going to scare a lot of teams. I mean, but you know, like you said, the Western Conference is stacked. If the playoffs started right now, they would have to play the Golden State Warriors. That's not an easy out, you know, for the Utah Jazz. So we'll see how it shakes out. But one thing I want to get real quick, and then I want to get your guys' opinion on the All-Star snubs, because I don't think we've talked about that together. But I got to ask you. I'll come to you first, Eric. We talked about it last night. I want to reiterate it because after that loss, it was pretty brutal with the Boston Celtics. Is Brad Stevens on the hot seat? What do you think? I think he is. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely he is, because – even without Smart, you know, he is a big part of the team. Kemba Walker's been out a little bit, but they have depth. They have a really good team, the Celtics, and I just think they're poorly coached. He's not utilizing the talent he has on that team. So, in my opinion, definitely, because the Celtics at the beginning of the year were one of my top picks to come out of the Eastern Conference, you know, to compete to go to the NBA Finals. So, and they got blown out of the water, and you got to look at Stevens, because you got the talent there. On paper, you're a really good team, but you're not putting it on the hardwood. So, in my opinion, yeah, Brad Stevens is definitely on the hot seat. I don't know if he's going to get fired during the year, but if it continues like this, he's definitely not going to be in Boston next season.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Danny Ainge was on the radio, and he kind of said he doesn't blame their superstar tandem of Jalen and Jason Tatum and Brown, but he said, quote, now it's on them. They're the stars. They got the big contract, and they got the All-Star nod. So the microscope is on them. So he's basically challenging his best two players, as he should, to help turn this thing around. Alan, do you think Brad Stevens is on the hot seat right now with the Celtics 15-17 on the season, under 500, almost on the outside looking in if the playoffs started today?
I think Brad Stevens is going to survive through the season. When the off season comes, that's a different story. I think he's going to make it through the season. I just think, I mean, I know we mentioned Brad Stevens, but when we talk about Danny Ainge, I mean, I've been talking about the Celtics the last few years. I mean, I like Theis, Daniel Theis, their center, but he can't be their starting center. They should have drafted or traded for someone like that. They need a big man. I know they got Tristan Thompson, but I just don't know. I think Jason Tatum is probably their biggest player. He's like a 6'10", you know, small forward wing player. But I think they just need more size, especially if they're going to try to get through Philly. Philly's a big squad. So maybe in order to save the Celtics season, maybe Danny Ainge has got to be on the phone like Rob Pelinka and start making some moves, because, you know what you're going to get out of Jaylen Brown. You know what you're going to get out of Jason Tatum, and I know Kimba's been struggling, but you know, I live and die with UConn, so I can't really say anything bad about Kimba Walker. But you know, I'm sure, I mean, Eastern Conference 15 and 17, I mean, you went 4 out of 5. You could go from, you know, whatever, like, what seed are the Celtics right now? Let me look it up.
Ninth seed, right? Well, they're not out, they're the ninth seed, so they would get that play in
looking at it right now. So the Raptors are the 50, so they're 16 and 17. So really, like, if the Celtics go on a run, they win 4 out of 5, they can be bumped up right to the fifth or fourth seed really quick. That's how things are juggling with the Eastern Conference. Like, you know, you're talking about all-star snubs, and a couple of weeks ago, I'm thinking, like, I know everybody loves Zach LaVine, and he's putting out stats, but I'm like, his team's not winning. He's a 10th seed. Like, the Bulls are the 10th seed. Right. Now I look at it, the Bulls are the 7th seed. That's probably because they won a couple games, and now they're 15 and 16. So, honestly, I'm looking at it right now. Pacers are 15 and 15. They're the 4th seed. So, from 4 to 10, like, you win 2 games in a row, you can go from 9 to 5 really quick. So, I think Brad Stevens is safe for the rest of the season. If they make the playoffs, what they do in the playoffs, maybe they give them another chance, restructure the team. Maybe they, you know, blow it all up, fire Brad Stevens, maybe, you know, trade Jaylen Brown for a couple of pieces. I don't know. But I think, to answer your original question, I think Brad Stevens makes it through the season.
I mean, I kind of lean on Eric on this one. I lean towards him. I think Stevens has got to be held accountable. I think they've got – the problem is the effort. I don't see the effort, especially on the defensive end. And I can't use the Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker excuse as to why they're losing. Now, with the Lakers, okay, you're missing – you're top heavy with your two best players being LeBron and AD. Two guys that are top five in the league, arguably, right? You lose one of those guys, the pieces are going to fall down. But the Celtics are – they have two stars, but they have a little bit more balance to them. And their two stars aren't out. Their two stars are standing right there playing, and they're not playing good basketball this team. I applaud Ainge for challenging his two superstars and saying, you know what, put the money where the mouth is. We paid you. We're not paying you to lose games to blow 20-plus leads to the Pelicans. We're not paying you to lose to the Hawks by, like, over 20 points. That's not what we're paying you all this money for. So listen, Ainge is accountable for the fact that they're maybe poorly constructed, from the fact that I alluded to last night, that they're a defensive team, they don't have enough shooters, and they don't have any size. Maybe they should be making a call to Boogie Cousins right now. But you know what? They have the talent in Boston. That's on the coach. You got to get these guys to play. You got to hold them accountable. You got, at least, if anything, defense travels, right, Eric? Defense travels. If you can play defense, you're going to be in
game. Yeah, absolutely.
They're not doing that. They're not doing that. That's my problem with them.
And that's where they're running into problems.
Right. The stars are going to be the stars. Like, Tatum and Brown are going to – they're going to be there. Defense has got to travel if you're a defensive team. They're not playing defense. That's the problem with them. So, Stevens, if you don't get it together – he's a good coach. He's a good young coach. He was one of those guys that people loved when coming out of Butler, that they said this guy was going to be it. But I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing a team that gets to the conference finals and chokes against the Heat, or you know, they can't make that leap to the next level. And now this, like, they're playing terrible basketball, and now you got the Pacers and a hot Washington Wizards team coming into town. You better turn it on quick, or it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly really quick in Boston, because they're not going to have it.
But, Barry, you bring up you bring up Marcus Smart. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. it's an apples to oranges comparison, him and Anthony Davis. But I think mm-hmm. his impact on the defensive end is just as much as AD's impact on the defensive end. I know they're different sizes and different positions, but Marcus Smart is that guy that's going to get in your face. He's going to get up in the point guard or whoever he's defending. And he's pretty much the defensive coach out there, you know, yelling out screens and whatever else. And he just brings you that grit that the Celtics don't have right now. So I know looking at they said the Celtics have gone 5-9 since, you know, Smart has missed 14 games and they're eyeing a return for the second half of the mm-hmm. season. So I think if Tatum, Brown, Kemba can hold down the fort until Smart gets back, I think they'll be okay. And, you know, like I said earlier, it is between 4-10. You have a couple wins here and there. You'll move up really quick. And I think Tatum and Brown have the talent, and Kemba. I think they have the talent to, you know, do their thing and just hold down the fort, because Marcus Smart is a big piece that they are missing, just like the Lakers are missing AD.
Yeah, but, you know, Kemba's hurt. He's playing hurt, and he's not helping the team. That's why, ultimately, he's been sitting down the last game or two, because he's not helping. You know, I love his toughness, UConn kid, obviously, but I'm going to be clear, like, he's not having a good year, and it's not because he doesn't fit. It's because he's hurt. And you know what? Guess what? Maybe that guy, Gordon Hayward, maybe you should have kept him around. I don't know, but, you know, listen, that's on Danny Ainge. You didn't keep Hayward, and you didn't bring in a big. Like, you know, that's on Ainge, too. You can't just push the blame to the stars and tell them to fix the mess. So, but Boston, you know, get it together. It's gonna be tough. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Hayward. Go for it, Alan.
No, just quickly on Hayward. I think so what I read about Hayward was, you know, he played at Butler with Stevens, so he had his you know, horrific injury, and he came back, and like Jaylen Brown, you know, Tatum were doing their things without, you know, Hayward in the lineup, and then he comes back and all of a sudden he's like inserted in the starting lineup, and like so everyone starts looking at Stevens and, you know, Gordon Hayward like, what's going on over here? You know, you just got back from an injury and now you're starting. And you could tell, like, you know, when Hayward came back, he was still a little hesitant to really, like, ball out. And I think that rubbed, you know, the two young studs the wrong way. So that's why I think Hayward's not in a Celtics uniform right now. But he's definitely, like, no one talks about him because everyone's talking about his teammate in the middle of the ball. But you look at his numbers, like, Gordon Hayward is definitely an all-star snub.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, and just to touch on that a little bit, and I think, too, they were a little worried about, you know, that injury, too, and I think that's why they let him go, and he got a big payday over there in Charlotte, and it's paying off for them because, like you just touched on, this guy is definitely all-star caliber, and he's performing really good right now.
Yeah, I mean, that injury was horrific, and he's one of the guys that you root for. He's a good kid. And he balls, man. He plays good ball. And you know, look out, man. Charlotte, you know, they're right there in the thick of it. You know, I think if they can get another player, they could be there. But I'll come right back to you, EZE, Big Easy. Who to you is one of the bigger all-star snubs that we saw come out of the list? I mean, we saw some good players get in, but as always, a lot of good players didn't make it in.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Devin Booker. I mean, the guy's averaging 25 points a game, and CP3 made it over him is head-scratching to me, because Devin Booker, to me, is the Phoenix Suns. He's the big scorer on that team, and he plays defense. He's a great player, and I think it's a head-scratching that he didn't get in. I know we touched on there's a lot of people that are going to get snubbed out because it's just not a deep roster on the all-star roster, you know, so there's going to be a lot of snubs each and every year, but to have a guy at his caliber get left out is head scratching, and he didn't even make a reserve, you know, and he could have been a starter. So same thing with Lillard, Luka Doncic getting a call over him. The all-star game to me is a popularity contest. You know, we talked about how these smaller markets don't get recognized, whether it's on the East Coast, you know, it just depends on where these teams are playing. They don't get a lot of viewership. So a lot of these players get snubbed out due to popularity, and that's basically it all it is. I mean, yeah, everybody that's in it deserves to be there, but there's a, you know, I would have definitely left CP3 out and gave the nod to Booker. So I don't know how they pick the reserves, if that's the coaches or what, but you know, the fans speak for the starters. So that, but that's the biggest one to me. Devin Booker should definitely be an All-Star this year.
Absolutely, and I think he got voted in after the fact with AD obviously getting hurt, so he took that slot.
Okay.
But that, it shouldn't come to that. It shouldn't come to that.
Yeah,
I totally agree. Listen, CP3 is one of the big reasons why they went from a sub 500 team to where they are now. I think what 20-12 or something like that. But Devin Booker is the guy. And that's a total slight. Alan, who do you want to shout out there as a big time All-Star snub?
I mean, I'm going to go with you guys. Well, you said Devin Booker. I've been debating Devin Booker for years now. I think it's horrible that this is the second straight year that he's making the All-Star because of an injury replacement. I know we were talking about best shooting guards a couple shows ago. I mean, Harden, you know, up there, he's a top shooting guard. And then depending if you classify Paul George as a shooting guard or a small forward, if he's a shooting guard, I put him at number two. But, like, Devin Booker is up there as top five shooting. I think personally, and people can argue with me, they have, I think he's better than Donovan Mitchell. You know, if I had to pick between the two, I'm picking Donovan Mitchell. And I know Donovan Mitchell's been on the Jazz and they've been winning and he's been getting a lot of shine last few seasons. But, like, Devin Booker is, like, straight up certified bucket. He's getting better. And the knock on him was that, oh, the Suns weren't good. This year they're 20-10, they're the fourth seed, and, like, he still didn't get recognized. And people, like, I was reading on social media, like, you know, if you pick a snub, who do you take off? And it was hard because I'm thinking, you know, AD's injured, so he's probably going to replace AD. Well, I understand CP3's value, but I think CP3 makes it, made the All-Star team based on seniority. Like, he's, you know, popular amongst the players and coaches like him. But I bet you CP3 would give up his spot, you know, just like this person is. I think he would give up his spot for Devin Booker, you know, because Devin Booker, I'll argue this to anyone. I think he's top three shooting guard. And there's no way it should take an injury to Anthony Davis for him to be up there. But, I mean, I don't know how it works. Solves the All-Star game, because I was talking to a friend of mine, like, maybe right now is it the starters get voted by the fans and the coaches pick the reserves? Maybe they got to increase the number of reserves, because there's a lot of people getting snubbed. And then me and my friend were throwing the idea out, like, let's make it interesting. Let's make four All-Star teams, like, somehow maybe have seven players on each team and have them play a game like a tournament. Because, like, there's a lot of All-Stars. I was telling someone when, you know, my All-Star snub team could probably beat some of the reserve. My All-Star snub team was Trae Young, Devin Booker, Sabonis, Bam Adebayo, and Gordon Hayward. Those five, and my sixth man would be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Those six could take on those reserves. I was like, my All-Snub team could take on the reserve squad. I remember texting someone this the other day, but definitely Devin Booker for sure. I'm glad he is going to be an All-Star because of AD's replacement. But then another person, I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think Gordon Hayward should be an All-Star. No. Above Gordon Hayward is Sabonis. Sabonis, I think, is the second biggest snub because he's doing work, and his Pacers are contending. They're the fourth seed. I just get confused because sometimes I'm thinking the NBA picks, the coaches pick certain players because of their style of play. Like, I think Zach LaVine got selected. Cause, like, you know, you want to see Zach LaVine in the All-Star game. He's going to be dunking and shooting threes. You know, no one wants to watch Sabonis grab rebounds and bring the ball up the court and do jump hooks, you know. But then, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, why was Vujicic, you know, selected. I know he's having a good season, but Orlando, it sucks. They're like the second worst team in the East. And like his game's not flashy. Like I'm not watching the All-Star game for Vujicic. Like, so he definitely should, like, Sabonis should have made it over Vujicic.
I mean, I like Vujicic. I think he's having a good year, but Sabonis, those are the three guys, Booker, Sabonis, and Trae Young. Sabonis was an All-Star last year. His numbers are better this year than last year. Last year he was averaging 18 points. This year he's 21 points. almost 12 rebounds a game, almost 6 assists a game. How is this guy not an all-star? It blows my mind. Trae Young, not only the fact that the game is in his backyard, the kid can ball. The kid is amazing and, like, you know, putting up stats.
Yeah, that's
so,
another
like,
big
like
one,
we,
too.
Yeah, like we said, Eric, there's just not enough spots for these guys. It's just not fair. 12 spots for all these lethal players is just ridiculous. I mean, you got to expand it to 15. Let them sit on the bench or something. You can get them in the game somehow if you want it. You can figure out something like Alan said. Maybe you play around with the format. You're already doing it, letting them draft players. Play around with the format to get 30 guys there that deserve to be there, and make sure the guys that you're voting in there really deserve to be there. One thing I do like about baseball is that they do have that fan vote to let that one guy get in after the snubs, you know, so at least the fans. Sabonis not getting in. Bam. I think TP had brought it up on one of the other shows. Bam Adebayo not getting in. He's another snub to me. Like, you know, the Heat aren't having a, you know, they're having a sub 500 year. They had some injuries, so starting to get healthy. But Bam is putting in work down there in Miami. And, you know, I don't know how, I don't know how Vucevic gets in over Bam. Like, I could see if you wanted by position, you needed a center, whatever. But, I mean, I'm looking at Bam's numbers. He's almost averaging 20 points a game. The kid, you know, he's obviously getting the rebounds almost 10 a game and almost 6 assists a game. Huh? So there's a lot of snub. It's mind-blowing. But we got about five minutes left. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to quickly about Trae Young. So the coaches vote the reserves, right? So my theory on Trae Young is that I think the coaches are getting rubbed. Like, damn, I think Trae Young is rubbing coaches the wrong way, the way he plays. Everyone's talking about how he, like, the way he comes off pick and roll, he's just, like, initiating the fouls. So I think, like, if coaches have a vote and a reserve, I think that's where Trae Young, I think he's just irritating some people. He is kind of irritating. He does the, you know, he puts the ball through the hoop. The other night he bounced the ball out of bounds, he bounced the ball off the back of a defender. So, I mean, I get it. It's a new generation, but I think, you know, coaches are old school. So I think Trae Young probably rubbing coaches the wrong way right now.
Yeah, I mean, so is Draymond Green. So Steph Curry can be kind of irritating after a while, like, you know, coming off a high screen, shooting it from half court. You know, but he still puts in work. Vucevic, we got to be fair, 23 and 11. Not, you know, those are all star numbers. But you know, I'll argue with you that Bam is having a better impact on his team. They have a better record. So, that's just me. But I mean, any other guys, Eric, that you could think of that we didn't mention before we close up this really quick dish here. We got to close the kitchen up.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the Washington Wizards. They're giving Nuggets a run for their money right now, and if they can find a way to beat the Nuggets, then they have beaten the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Nuggets. Some really tough customers in the West. I just want your guys' thoughts. They'd be 12-18 if they won tonight, and right back in the mix of thing with the playoff hunt. Do you guys think they can make a run to get to the playoffs?
I'll let you take it first because we kind of talked about it last night. It was a great topic that we kind of started to run through a little bit. But do you think the Wizards have enough to, you know, they're down by 4 right now, but given the Nuggets at home, all they can handle. What do you think about the Wizards? Can they get it together?
The Wizards, I mean, they got, you know, they got Russ. They got Bradley Beal. Like, with that backcourt, anything can happen. I've always said this about Russ. He's a gift and a curse. Because he plays hard. I like his intensity. But I think there's flaws in this game. I feel like sometimes the way he plays is a little reckless. And, like, he doesn't get his teammates involved. But you can't question his heart and his hunger. Like, he balls out. So, like I mentioned earlier, with the Eastern Conference, anything could happen. You know, Wizards make a little run. They'll get right up in there and move up in the rankings. So, right now, the Wizards are 13th. they got some work to do, but it's not impossible. I feel like with Beal and Westbrook, like if they can really like gel and you know, really connect and really start balling, like anything can happen in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, for Barry as a Knicks fan, you probably don't want to see the Wizards do good because that at least Beal's trade value goes up. You know, we don't want to give up the Knicks don't want to give up the farm for Beal. I feel like you just got to let the Wizards keep struggling. But the answer to the original question, I think anything can happen with a backcourt of Westbrook and Beal.
Yeah, I mean, I would love Beal to be in a Knicks uniform. Oh, God, please make it happen. Please. But, you know, you're right. With that backcourt, it's possible. We said it last night and you know, reiterated again. Like, they have the talent in that, as talented a backcourt as anybody in the league. I agree with you. Russell's a little reckless. He does get the assist, but I feel like they're not natural assists. They're like he's trying to force a pass just to get the assist so he can get that, you know, double-double or triple-double. I don't ever really feel like it's in the flow of the game, the flow of the offense sometimes when I watch him. He's struggling tonight. I think he's 4 of 12, 4 of 13. So, you know, not a great shooter. That was not. But, I mean, Beal can shoot the lights out. So, I think, you know, those two guys can get them to 500. I think that was the question last night. If I'm going to butcher his name, Hashimura can get, if he can be that third scorer and probably be a second scorer like he is tonight, because, you know, a lot of times Westbrook can get you those points, but he's not scoring, he's not shooting efficiently. If he can get it going and get, he's averaging 13 points this year. If he can get up to about, you know, 16, 18 points again this year, guess what? That's a dangerous team that you might not want to place in the playoffs. They don't have a lot else outside of that. I think they need I think they can build around those two and get some size, get some shooters, get some length on that team. But, you know, like you said, anything's possible with that backboard. So I don't know what you think, Eric, if you want to, you know, eat off that plate a little bit or you want to put the plate in the sink.
I think we're good. Well said.
Absolutely. Listen, guys, I appreciate you guys coming in here, getting a plate. Blog Talk, it was the devil tonight. You know, they were villainous. I was the hero. They were the villain tonight. Eric, I appreciate you, brother, for coming in. Give me a quick plug, close out as we close the Crossover Cafe.
Good show tonight, gentlemen. It was only an hour, but I think it was a really good show. We touched on a lot of good topics. As always, shout out to Alan and the villain. Check us out, sportscitychefs.com, Power 103 Radio, all the blogs, the merchandise, everything. And we thank all our listeners out there. Have a blessed night, everyone.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, EZ. We'll catch up soon. Alan, I appreciate you, brother, for coming in. And hanging with us tonight on the Crossover Cafe. Give us a quick plug. I know you're a foodie. You don't like to tell nobody, but you're a foodie. You got a pretty awesome blog that you do. So, you know, give me a plug. Give me a shout as you get out of here.
Well, regarding the food blog, it's been on a little hiatus since baby Charlotte's been born. But as long as baby Charlotte's good, I'm good. Quick, I mean, it's always great chatting with you, Barry. It's always great chatting with you, Eric. I'm looking I want to run some stats by you. Tell me this player should be an all-star. 23.5 points, 5.3 rebounds, 6.4 assists, shooting 51 from field goal, 41-3, 79 free throw percent.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yep.
And who is that?
He's definitely a snub. That is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I – Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he better be an all-star next year. Him and Ja Morant, because the Western Conference is in trouble if with Ja and Shai coming. You know, they young guns ready to take over.
That's a good point. That Ja Morant, another snub that we never really talk about. You don't get to see him a lot. I mean, listen, Zion is balling, but right behind him is Ja Morant. I totally agree with you. But finish your closeout, brother. Finish your closeout.
No, I was just saying there's other snubs, but Brandon Ingram's a snub, and then you got. I mean, if CP3's an all star, like Mike Conley should be up there too. But Once again, it was great cooking with you all tonight on the cafe. Shout out Power 103 for being a partner. Blog Talk Radio, I hope you guys get it together, because there's that little app that everyone's on right now called Clubhouse. You know, everyone's on Clubhouse right now putting their podcast there. So hopefully Blog Talk will get their act together.
Yeah, I don't have an iPhone, but my wife does. She got the new iPhone today. She's been like kind of like, you know, putting it in my face. Oh, look at the camera! Look at this! Oh my god! Yeah, I don't do the iPhone stuff. But like, listen, yo, shout out to our boys on Clubhouse that definitely, you know, they come in, they do the college tailgate on Saturdays 11 a.m. Got to get that plug in too, Chris. I got to give him Chris and Deshaun some love. They do a great job. They partner with TP. Shout out to the big homie TP Timeless. You know, we holding it down for you, brother. And when you're back, you know, we always got the plates for you. Even though the villain likes to take the plate, take bachelor away. You know, we holding it down for you, Timeless. But check us out, Sports City Chefs. Check the website, the blogs, the interviews, the merchandise, the podcast. We're on again, the college tailgate. Like I said, Saturday, 11 o'clock, talking some college hoops, some big games coming up this weekend. I had to eat that crow from UConn getting blown out by Villanova, but we bounced back against Georgetown. So, you know, we got to talk about that. As we come down the stretch run in college basketball leading into March Madness and definitely the conference tournaments as well. So check us out. Shout out to Power 103 Radio for holding this down, partnering with us. Our show will air tomorrow on Power 103 at 7 o'clock. So, you know, definitely check us out then. As TP would say, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if you don't know, now you know.